Christianity 101. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians, please. In these few moments, our Bible study and this afternoon, Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Christianity 101. Hold your place there and locate, if you will, the book of 1 Peter, chapter 2. Hold your place. That's where we're going to be working out of Ephesians, but we're going to get a springboard out of 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Tells us to lay aside all malice and guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil of speaking. If some people would lay all of that aside, they wouldn't be able to open their mouth. Verse number 2. Now this is our springboard. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Now back to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Christianity 101. Christianity 101, chapter 2. And you hath he quickened, that's made alive, who were dead, were crucified with Christ in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So, how are we to walk? The walks of a Christian. Christianity 101. Now, here is the wrong walk. The Bible tells you, teaches what's right. It teaches us what's wrong. Teaches what to do and what to omit from doing. And so, this is a wrong walk, wherein time passed. That's before you got saved, if you're saved. You walked according to the course of this world. Now, who was your boss? Who was your boss? Look at the next phrase. Who's your boss? Who is it? Somebody tell me. Satan, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So, this is the wrong walk. In verse 1, it says, you hath he quickened who were dead. We were dead, but now, finish this. I am crucified with Christ. All right? So we were dead. We were crucified with Christ. But what did Christ do? Stay in the tomb? Answer me. Stay in the tomb? What did he do? He arose, came forth from the grave. All right? So we have new life in Christ. So the Bible teaches us where to walk. The wrong walk is to walk according to the world, according to the dictates of Satan, the prince of the power of the air. But now, we're quickened. We're not dead in trespasses and sins anymore. We're quickened. Look in verse 13, chapter 2, verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. All right, here's Christ. We're way over here. We're way over here. Now what brings us to Christ? The blood. So, therefore, we come to Him. Now we say, I am crucified with Christ. See, the old dead part of our body died. Jesus died for us, and He shows us that we are dead in trespasses and sins, so we're alive under Christ by the blood. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. In verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and raised up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And so this is forever. In the ages to come, he might show us the exceeding riches of his grace and the kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. So the wrong walk is the way we used to walk before we got saved. But now it's altogether different. So we were dead, the Bible says, we were dead in trespasses and sins. We are disobedient. Look in verse number 2. Do you see it there? The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. We were dead. We were disobedient. And look down. We deserve wrath. Do you see it? It's right there in the Bible. But God, who is rich in his mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us. We deserve. When we were dead in sins, yet quickened us together with Christ. Now, that's the wrong walk. We walk according to the world passeth away, the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth how long? Forever. Now, isn't that good? That's simple, isn't it? Do you realize that? Sometimes we need to be reminded of it. Reminded of it daily. And so Christianity 101. Now let's look at the right walk. Look on down, verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, undeserving. Nobody can deserve a gift. A gift must be received before it can become yours. And if you've never received the gift of eternal life, it's there for you. So, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. Boy, I sure hope I can work good enough to get to heaven. You're going to fail. You're going to wind up in a hot place. So the Bible says, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together to and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come he might show us the exceeding riches of his grace by his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. The right walk. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. There's nothing you can do that can save you. You can't work enough. You can't be good enough. You can't pay enough. There's no way in this world. It's a gift. Now, when does a gift become yours? When you receive it. It's there. And you can leave it. You can take it or leave it. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Let me tell you how I got to heaven. People up in heaven getting around. Let me tell you how I got to heaven. I helped an old lady across the street one time. Yeah, you helped her across the street, but that didn't get you into heaven. There's only one way to be saved. And the songwriter said, repent, believe, and Christ receive. There's only one way to be saved. Now, the right walk is not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained, that we should walk in them. Now, this is the right walk. We've seen the wrong walk, now the right walk. Now, how are we going to walk? Remember, use your head. Don't forget that ye be in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called the uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision, in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ. Now, this is the right walk. Walk right. And verse number 8, but now in Christ Jesus, you who are sometimes are far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. So the Bible is teaching us how to walk. So we've seen two walks. Now let's go to the third walk. So I want you to turn your page over to chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. This is the third walk. Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. literally, when we trust Christ as personal Savior, we are in His jail. We are His prisoner. And the only thing that we can have is when we ask for it. Because we are captives of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not your own, you're bought with a price. So you belong to Jesus. If you're saved, He is your Father, and you are His child. You are a child of God. So the Bible plainly says that our third walk, Christianity 101, therefore the prisoner of the Lord Jesus, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. This is a public walk. The way we walk around other people. Let others see Jesus in you. While passing through this life of sin and others, your life shall view, be pure, be clean, without within. Let others see Jesus in you. Okay, so the third walk is a public walk. Now, how do we walk? Verse 2. With all lowliness and meekness and long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep unity of the Spirit. Don't get out of sorts and don't try to carry arguments. Don't try to spread gossip. Don't do a whispering campaign. Don't do any of that stuff. That's sin before God. For the child of God to participate in that. Enduring to keep unity of the Spirit in the blood, in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And He gave gifts, down in verse number 8, and you have some gift that no one else has. The problem is, many Christians don't know what it is. And how can you use something if you don't know what it is? And the Lord has given all of us a unique way. Some people can talk to others in an easy way. Some people can make telephone calls in an easy way. Some people can meet new friends, and some people just, well, that's not a gift to be stubborn and be a lone ranger. You need to be what God wants you to be and use the gift that He has given you. And so the Bible says that He has given us many things. Down in verse 11, He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. And if you're saved, you are to help in the perfecting of the saints. You can help your brothers and sisters in Christ. You are related spiritually to everybody that is a believer, to everybody that has put their faith and trust in Christ. That's the reason we call one another brother, and you call people sister this and sister that, and in Christ. We're in God's family. That's the way to walk. Way to walk. So what is it for? The perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And that's in verse number 12. So we can say much more about it. But now let's go to the fourth walk in chapter 4, verse 17. Chapter 4, verse 17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. He's talking to the Jew here. In the vanity of their mind. That is a worldly walk. Some people think they take Jesus with them and they can do what they want to after that. You're in the world, but you're not of the world. And so the Bible is teaching us how to live and how to walk. It tells us to be angry, but sin not. There are certain things you can get angry with and angry at. You ought to, but not people, but what they do. There's the wrong thing. Be ye angry and sin not, and let not the sun go down on your wrath. Now, that's a pretty hard one. Sometimes we have arguments and we don't get them settled till too late or in the morning. That ought not to be so. We ought to be Christ-like. And so the Bible teaches that we give no place to the devil in verse 27. He wants you. He'll do everything he can to get you dissatisfied. He'll do everything he can to keep you from witnessing. He'll do everything he can to keep you from making a telephone call and say, hey, we're in a revival meeting over here at Open Door. I sure would like to see you. Our meeting starts at 7 o'clock, and we sure would like to have you. I'll come by and pick you up. You know, that's almost a forgotten art. That's almost a forgotten thing when we come to our meetings. That's the reason we don't have more visitation by the power of God in our lives and in our churches today. Because it seems like you go to a church and they just come to show off their new clothes or come to see friends, and they jaw about everything under the sun except, you know, God's been good to me this week. You know, he's answered a prayer. Let me tell you what he did. That's spiritual. That's the way we're supposed to walk. That's what the Bible teaches us. Well, that's the fourth walk. The Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. Grieve the Holy Spirit. And in verse 31, look, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Four walks. Now let's look at the fifth walk. Chapter 5. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Walk in love. Walk in love. As Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Look at there. The Lord Jesus Christ loved us. He gave himself for us. For us? For me? You mean God sent his Son to come through a virgin, to live with me in mind, to die in my place, so that I could be his child. I want to tell you something, it doesn't get any better than that. And so the Bible says, walk in love. Walk like Christ walked in love, because he loved us. And I can't think of anything more unlovable than a human being. I mean, you just have to ask Christ to help you love some people. You know, oh man, that guy's on dope. That's ridiculous. Yuck. Oh yeah? Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for that dope addict. He died on the cross for that harlot. He died on the cross for that murderer. God so loved the what? World. That he did what? Gave. What? His only begotten Son. That whosoever should not what? Perish, but have what? Walk in love, as Christ also loved us and hath given himself an offering and a sacrifice, a sweet-smelling savor. That tells you how to walk and leave all this filthy, foolish sin off. And it's all listed right here before your very eyes. Let no man deceive you with vain words. Watch your words. Watch what you say, verse 6. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be ye not therefore partakers with them. Now let's look, that's five walks. Let's look at the sixth walk. There's so much more. Verse number 8. Chapter 5, verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now Are ye light in the Lord? Walk as children of light. How do you walk as a child of light? Well, it's a positive walk. It's not a negative walk. It's a positive walk. Since we're the light is not to be hidden under a bushel. A light, have you seen that ad on the television that you can look for 10 miles and pick out a candle? Have you seen that thing on the television? Yeah, you've seen it. Some of you have seen it. The natural eye can see a candle burning 10 miles away. 100 football fields or something like that, it says. You see that? Well, it's there. And they say, you know, everything on television has got to be the truth, so you got to believe this thing. And so there it is. And so since we're the light, let's send forth a good light. Let's reflect a good light. I hear testimonies of people, and you have too, about the person that led them to Christ, and maybe you even have somebody like that. While passing through this world of sin and others, your life shall view, be clean, be pure, without within, let others see Jesus in you. You. So the Bible is teaching us here we're to walk in love. Christ also loved us. Walk 5. Verse number 6. We're to walk as children of light, proving what is that acceptable, what is that acceptable unto the Lord, and hath no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but reprove them. Your mother, your dad, and your child gets with others, and he thinks it's cool to start talking some of their language, and he says a word that he doesn't have control over all of a sudden because he's been using it with his friends. He's, stop doing that! Wait a minute. Is that the right approach? Maybe not. Maybe you ought to say, son, breaks my heart to hear you use that word. You know, when you were young, you asked Jesus to save you. We love the Lord. And if it hurts me, what do you think it does to the one who saved you? Why don't you stop that, your dirty mouth? There's a big difference in that. While passing through this life of sin, and others, let others see Jesus in you. That's what the Bible says. Now, in order to do that, we've got to be controlled by the Spirit. The sixth walk, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Now, how you do that? Verse number 10, prove what is acceptable unto the Lord. Verse 11, number 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Son, you're breaking my heart. You're running with the wrong crowd. You know that you weren't taught that way. Our sweetheart, you've got some friends that are influencing you the wrong way. I want you to know that you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and if you're really saved, the Lord listens in on every conversation. He knows everything we do. He watches everywhere we go. You cannot do anything outside the all-seeing eye or hearing of the living God. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, for it's a shame to even speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things, verse 13, that are reproved are made manifest in the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. So the Bible is teaching us how to walk. Walk in the light. Now we have a complete walk. Here's the seventh walk. And so that's in chapter 5 and verse number 15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Now, how are you going to walk circumspectly? Is that talking about this walk here so you won't fall off? You hold your breath when that guy goes across the Grand Canyon and you think he's never going to get there. Is that, well, that's a circumspect walk. That's right. Somebody said it's like a cat walking on a picket fence with a bullfrog on either side. That's a bulldog. Yeah, did I say frog?
Yes.
I was thinking of Faithful Frog there. I got that off my mind. With a bulldog on either side. That's the way we're supposed to walk. Listen, we're in the world, but the world's not supposed to be in us. And the Lord is watching us. He's got a 24-hour surveillance on every one of us. Did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurred to God? Never one time did He pick up the telephone and say, well, I'll declare. And He doesn't check His email or His Facebook every day to see what we're doing. He knows all. If He didn't know all, He wouldn't be God at all. So, number 7. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. So what does that mean? Christian, if we are not walking circumspectly, we are foolish in our lives. We're not wise. We ought to walk circumspectly, redeem the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Question. Look right up here. Everybody look right up here. Are you in God's will right now? This very moment. Are your thoughts somewhere besides in this auditorium? Is your mind wondering what you're going to do tomorrow? Are you worrying about the bills that you can't pay? Let me reverse that. Are you thinking about somebody right now that you'd say, I wish my friend was here for this meeting? Do you have somebody upon your heart where you say, well, I'm going to do my best to get them out for these days? I'm going to call them. Listen, I'll be glad to come by and pick you up in the car. I want you to come and be with us. I want you to meet our pastor. We got some folks visiting. I want you to hear the preaching. I want you to hear the music. I'd like for you to come and be my guest. Be my Her daddy was a lost, hell-bound barber. And a guy by the name of Rusty came into the barbershop and he said, Homer, we're having a meeting over at the church and I want you to be my guest. And her lost daddy said, yeah, I'll be your guest. And he went. Got saved the first time he heard the gospel. That's the Spirit of God working. And if Rusty Braden had never asked Homer Britton, his barber, to come to church, Homer Britton may be in hell today instead of in glory. You see, we've got a responsibility. And if we don't walk right, we're not going to talk right. And the only way to talk right is to walk right. And the only way to do right is to practice the 7 walks. Leave some of them off and take some of them on. And learn from all of them. So the Bible is plainly telling us how to walk. Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Are you in the will of God right now? Are you doing what God wants you to do? Is God pleased with where you're working? Is God pleased with what you wear? Is God pleased with the way you talk? Is God pleased with the way you act? Is God pleased with the stories you tell? Is God pleased with your mind? Is He pleased because you're pure? Is He pleased with the way I live? Do I need to get rid of some of those things that shouldn't be there? You see, when you get revived, everything falls into place. Revive me, Lord Jesus. Revive me, I pray. Stir me to witness to the world today. Give me compassion for a lost, dying man. Revive me, Lord Jesus. Revive me, I pray. That's a good prayer. That's a good prayer. So where now for, verse 17, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine, where is an excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And it goes on to instruct us how to live and how to live our married lives. And it gives us how to live, how to walk, how to talk. And the walks, these seven walks of a Christian, ought to be refreshed in our minds by reviewing them, starting here in Ephesians chapter 2, every day of our life. This is practical Christianity. This is godly living. This is pleasing the Lord Jesus Christ. This is preparing for the judgment seat of Christ. This is preparing others to go to heaven. This will affect you from the beginning of every day to the end of every day. From the time you wake up until the time you go to sleep. And it'll help you in your prayers too, I do believe. Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us. Help us now in this week. Give us a blessed week. May it be the best week of our lives. Lord, we pray for every song, every message. We pray that every heart will come. We pray, Lord, that Thou wilt help us to do everything. Help every member of this church. Help every member of this church to become like Thee. Help us all to become like Thee. Now our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And what I want everybody here to do, everybody here that's a Christian, if you're saved, I want you to think of somebody that you know well. Somebody you know well, and you know they're lost. You know they've never been saved. Take just a moment. Everybody here that's saved can think of somebody like that. And if you're here that's lost, you can think of somebody like that real quick because you're living in the skin of that person. Now, as you think about a name, and if I were to ask you a name, you could give me a name. If it's a girl, you may say Sarah, or you may say Joan, or you may say Elizabeth. Virginia, I don't know. If it's a man, you may say it's Bill. Why, it's Jack. Maybe it's Arthur. I don't know. But you know somebody. You know them well. Could be a relative. I do not know. But you can call them by their first name. I want you to get that name right now while you're quietly praying and asking the Lord for it. I want you to get that name upon your heart. And I want you to ask the Lord to give you the way to invite them to the revival meeting and ask the Lord to prepare them to say yes. And everybody that's a member of this, if you're saved, you ought to have a rich desire and a great desire for that person. Could be your closest friend. Could be a relative. I don't know. God knows. You do too. So get one name upon your heart. And covenant with the Lord by God's grace and by His will every day. I'm going to pray. As many times as the Lord reminds me to pray for Jack or whatever, Julie, I don't know who it is. But Lord, remind me daily to pray for this person many times. And Lord, early in this week, give me the courage, give me the words, give me a moment to call them, to see them personally. As I pray for them, I pray, Lord, that you'll work on their hearts. And when I say, I'd like for you to come and go with me to the revival meeting, Lord, work on their lives so much that they will say, yes, I'd be glad to go. Now I'm going to ask you to do that. And I'm going to ask all of those that are willing to take this suggestion, not because I'm asking you to do it, because that could be wrong, but I'm putting the plan out, but you feel that's what the Lord would have me do during these days. Have you got a name on your heart? Could be a relative. Could be a friend, neighbor, I don't know. But you have a name. You have a name upon your heart. May I just ask you to lift your hand so I can join with you in praying for these individuals? Just lift your hand quietly. Thank you. That's not quite everybody. Would you pray about it? Say, well, preacher, I don't have anybody in mind, but I will do my best to invite other people to the service during these days. You see, this is revival. Revival. When Christians get changed from their normal day to the will of God. You say, preacher, I'm going to be praying for this meeting. I didn't raise my hand, but I'm going to be praying for this meeting. And I will invite others as I feel led to do so. Are the rest of you willing to join these? Thank you so much. Revive me, Lord Jesus. Revive me, I pray. Stir me to witness to the world today. Give me compassion for lost dying man. Revive me, Lord Jesus. Oh, revive me, I pray. Great evangelist said, I can give a prescription that will bring revival to any church or community or any city on earth. Let a few Christians, they need not be many, get thoroughly right with God themselves. This is the prime essential. If this is not done, the rest that I have to say will come to nothing. Second, let them bind themselves together in a prayer group to pray for revival until God opens the heavens and comes down. Third, let them put themselves at His disposal, the disposal of God, for Him to use as He sees fit in winning others to Christ, that is all. This is sure to bring a revival to any church or community. I have given this prescription around the world. It has been taken by many churches and many communities, and in no instance has it ever failed, and it cannot fail. The revivalist R.A. Torrey gave this prescription. Lord, help us to be a part of this, we pray, and give us a great, great week of genuine revival, we pray, in Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen. Amen.